for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that. Sunshine.
Good morning, everyone. I'm David Gow, the boss. I'm sitting next to Carla Dawson, the gloss. Carla, how are you?
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning. We've got bottom of the morning over there. Ron Culver behind the glass. Good morning to you, Ron.
Morning.
Good morning.
Bottom.
Bottom of the morning. Bottoms up. All right, so we wake up today to the news that Russell Wilson or the Seahawks have decided that they are going to take the calls on Russell Wilson, that they are open to the dialogue. This situation might be really heading down to some kind of outcome where Russell Wilson is not playing for the Seattle Seahawks next year.
I'll be surprised.
If he really goes. You know, it's gone from, to me, it was, well, based on Russell's comments, he might be unhappy, to what are the issues? And there are some questions about power and who gets to control things and what kind of influence Russell Wilson gets, to there are four teams that I want to be traded to, or would be traded to, could be traded to, would be happy to be traded to, or to now, well, the Seahawks are taking calls. So we are further down the road, it would seem. But there are all kinds of hurdles, salary cap constraints. It will not be an easy trade to work out.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, this speaks a little bit from Russell Wilson. It's surprising. I think the unhappiness is this. Russell Wilson's unhappy that he doesn't have enough say in the decisions. The Seahawks are unhappy that he aired this dirty laundry to the public.
Fair enough. All right, we're going this show to get to talk to several parties who know a whole lot about the NFL scene. Later this hour, we'll have Dom Cosentino. He is the NFL writer for The Score. And we're also going to get Howard Balzer next hour. He is the publisher of all Cardinals of Sports Illustrated. He talks about Cardinals, and he can talk to us about the impact of J.J. Watt joining the Cardinals. A big week for the Phoenix team.
What's going down in the desert? Let's hear it.
What's going down in the desert? I like the way you frame that. Well, have some fun with that. But when we come back, we're going to dive first into the quarterback carousel. There are updates with Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson hangs in the balance. Dak Prescott, there are contract negotiations still going on, and the franchise tag looming next week. We will unpack it all when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Football Friday with the boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we awaken to the news that the Seahawks have said yes, in fact, they will take calls on Russell Wilson. A surprising development to me, and we were talking about it last week. It seems remote, it seems unlikely that the Seahawks would actually trade Russell Wilson. Wilson has identified four teams, the Saints, the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Raiders, to which he would approve a trade. So it's a very limited pool of teams.
Yeah, he has a no-trade clause, so he does have leverage there.
I mean, a very limited pool. Bears would probably love to finally get a quarterback. They haven't had a quarterback since Bob Avellini.
It's not really a place where quarterbacks go to flourish.
It's been a long, long run for Chicago. I guess you have to ask, if the Seahawks really were to make that trade, well, then who would start next year? I mean, Pete Carroll is a 70-year-old coach. I mean, for the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll's a 70-year-old coach. He needs to win now.
Well, maybe they would get Trubisky or Foles in the trade.
Well, if it's a Bears trade, that's all the Bears can offer back. And I might still ask, well, then who would the Seahawks have as a legitimate starter next year? I guess if it's with the Raiders or the Cowboys, there's a chance to get Carr or Prescott, and that gives...
Although Mayock and Gruden are putting in their heels. They're very... I mean, Mayock made some very strong comments. We are... Gruden and I stand shoulder to shoulder in our support for Derek Carr.
They did. And of course, the Cowboys are saying the same. We want to have Dak Prescott as the long-term franchise quarterback here. So those two teams, I mean, New Orleans would love to have them, but they really don't have a package that they can offer back, and New Orleans has all kinds of salary cap woes.
You don't think Pete would want Jameis Winston?
There's the deal right there. Winston, of course, is a free agent, but I think the presumption is, yes, he'll be back with the Saints.
Sure.
Drew Brees will retire, although there are whispers that he won't. So I really can't see how that deal comes together. But Russell Wilson in the ether right now, in a conversation about being traded. And then the other one, of course, Deshaun Watson. Interestingly, I was noodling on the top quarterbacks in the league last night, thinking about who are the top five, who are the really elite. And two of my top five are Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, both of whom could be traded. Another one of my top five, given what he just did, is Tom Brady, and he just moved. So we are living in a world where even the very, very elite are potential to move. And Deshaun Watson is almost certainly going to move. It seems to be just a question of when the Texans will finally figure out that they're not going to have him as their quarterback next year, and what's the right timing to make that move.
The issue with the Texans is this, that you cannot make any sense out of anything that they're doing. So you and I are sitting here saying, Deshaun Watson has been nothing but an absolute ambassador on and off the field in the city of Houston, everywhere he goes. Like people who, these haters out there who are saying he's being a diva, this and that. No. Trust was broken. He was told something that he would be given. It wasn't given. And then the immediate turnaround of finding out they hired a GM that nobody had recommended, not the search firm, not the advisory committee that was very heady, and definitely not anyone that Deshaun Watson had recommended, and found it out over social media. That was kind of the straw that had broke a whole string of mistrust. But what you have to look at, people who want to hate Deshaun Watson, is how dedicated he was to this franchise. Before, he's a man of principle, and all principle was broken. If you remember correctly, he had a punctured lung. Was he going to miss the Jacksonville game? Nope. So while his team is on a chartered plane to Jacksonville, he's on a 12-hour bus ride. Oh, and also a broken rib. Played and beat Jacksonville. This guy is all in wherever he goes. And it's not like the Texans have been a great team. They have managed to win the AFC South by, you know, the grace of God. But, and even last year at 4-12, he wasn't complaining. Was he frustrated? Yes. It was what has gone on in the front office, the manipulation, the distrust. It's done now. Like, it is finished. It's over. There's no relationship to be repaired.
Well, as you noted, they went out and got Nick Caserio sort of in the dark of the night, a surprise pick. And that Caserio has come in, and what he's done is he's hired David Culley, a coach whom nobody knew about.
who's been an assistant for 27 years in the league. Why hasn't he gotten a sniff at a head coaching job?
And six teams this offseason were considering head coaches, and not a one interviewed David Culley. So Caserio's brought in Culley, and then he just made two personnel moves this year, or this week, with both his center and his running back.
I mean, okay. We just have to...
They released Nick Martin, their center.
Yes, they did. Who was one of the highest, they made him the highest paid center in the league.
Yeah.
Which was confusing at the time. He's an above average center. But now he's gone because who's going to come up? Oh, we don't know.
Well, the problem, of course, he was too highly paid. It was a salary cap reduction. But there was an opportunity to renegotiate.
Reliable.
Yeah, renegotiate, bring him back at a contract that works. Anyway, they've cut him out on the marketplace and he'll end up settling for less money. But the Texans do need to have a center next year.
Well, let's go through just a little highlight of what they've done in this week. Just this week alone.
Yes.
Gave away J.J. Watt for free, basically. Like we see now, his value is $31 million in the market. Like, so why in the world? Don't give me this. We did it for J.J. You are an organization in need of personnel on your football roster, and you gave him away for nothing. Zero. So that's the first thing.
Wait, let me pause on that because that is a sore spot in Houston.
It is.
He had one more year left on his Texas contract. I think it was for $16 to $17 million.
Correct.
And the feeling was, at least what the Texans said, is we have to cut him to release him because, well, we can't really trade him. Nobody's going to take that contract on. So we'll release him and let him go sign somewhere where he can play. That's right. And yeah, now he's signed with the Cardinals for actually more money. A total commitment from the Cardinals, it's bigger than that. So that does suggest
$23 million guaranteed.
There was a trade opportunity. available to the Texans. They just didn't take advantage of it.
But if you don't take off the blindfold, you don't see that there might be trade opportunities. They're not known for getting value, i.e. the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which brings about we got the lucky gift of running back David Johnson.
Yes.
Who was coming off the worst season of his career. He was 22nd in rushing yards in 2020. So what did the Texans do? They re-signed him this week to triple the amount that the average running back is worth in the NFL. He's 30 years old. Like, I don't even know what to say about this stuff. I mean, restructured the contract, gave him the, you know, Bill O'Brien brings him in off the Hopkins trade and gives him the keys to the Texans' backfield.
Well, it is funny because
good gosh.
In Houston, there are two problems with him. One is that he's the guy who was linked to the Hopkins debacle.
Yeah.
And he'll never escape that because that was a disastrous trade for the Texans.
Once again, not getting value.
And then the other thing this week is, he's overpaid in this deal. And we're seeing Nick Caserio's at work here. And the body of work just a few weeks in here is not very optimistic.
No, it's not. And, you know, I heard this morning that, you know, Nick Caserio sat alongside Bill Belichick, and he learned to just be emotionless and stubborn, and you just do what you need to do. But here was the caveat for the quote, the good of the team. So Nick Caserio, you can sit there and be emotionless and stick your heels in the ground and say, we're not moving Deshaun. That is not for the last part of that sentence, for the good of the team. He's not going to play for you, period. You need a bevy of assets. The draft is coming up. Admit you're in a rebuilding process. This is not a team that can just pick back up. They have nobody. They have overpriced veterans in Whitney Mercilus and David Johnson, Bradley Roby.
Yeah.
They need to rebuild in the draft. This is your chance to get in a bevy of draft picks right now. So don't act like you're Bill Belichick, because there's nothing about you and the team that you've just inherited that is anything like it. Do for the best of the team. Trade Deshaun. Stop being an idiot about this. Get your draft picks and admit your rebuild.
For the sake of Deshaun Watson, where would you like to see him land?
Anywhere but Houston. And I'm not kidding.
Right. But presumably he will get traded.
I think Miami would be absolutely fantastic. And I love San Francisco. I don't think San Francisco has enough to get him.
Right.
But wow, talk about a win now team. And I think Miami has done everything right. And I think San Francisco is a win now. And I love Kyle Shanahan and Brian Flores. So I'm loving that. But I know Carolina's big, 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 like – willing to throw everything at him, and that'd be pretty exciting for second-year coach Matt Rhule to get a Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, from a marketing standpoint, and the Texans are going to have a marketing standpoint. I mean, the Texans, since inception, have sold out every game.
This year, that's about to change.
Yeah, it's about to change. And they need some kind of marketing message. When Deshaun walks out the door, when J.J. is already gone, well, the one thing that offense can offer is a franchise-named quarterback. We'll see how Tua actually plays over the course of his career. But that would be at least a face of the franchise, someone on whom you can build and market your team. Because they've really traded away lost all their stars. I mean, when Deshaun's gone, J.J.'s gone, and
Hopkins is gone.
Will Fuller's
going to be gone.
Yeah, it's a really different team today and a much harder sell to the fan base.
And you look at this, that you need to trade now, because who in the world wants to come play for this organization as the weeks go by? We just highlighted this week's stupid moves. What player is going to want to come play for this organization? Yikes.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Matt Dougherty. He is the author of a great book called Rebound, From Pain to Passion. You may remember he was the head coach of the University of North Carolina. And he was at North Carolina during some great years with a lot of great legends.
Kenny Smith, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins. This is a heady
group. Just to name a few.
With,
so yes. We're going to talk to Matt about the path of going from pain to passion and rebounding. It is Matt Dougherty up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the winter ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, the headline seemingly every day, or maybe over for the last couple of years, is will the Cowboys and Dak Prescott come to terms? This long-standing standoff continues. Next week, Tuesday, is the deadline to apply the franchise tag. So that's one milestone there. But let's pause on that because we've got a chance to visit. We were looking forward to and anticipating.
We got him now.
We got him. Matt Daugherty joins us. He is the, well, he played with a bunch of legends at UNC, basketball standout, and then the former coach of UNC, and he's got a new book out. It's called Rebound, From Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. Matt, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, David, Carla, thank you very much.
Well, it is great to have you here. I'd love to have you tell us why you wrote the book at this time.
Yeah, it's been burning inside me, I think, for about 18 years, 17 years. When I was the head coach at North Carolina, I was it was my alma mater. I was recruited to go back there. And my first year, we had a great season, David. We were a very good season. We ranked number one in the country, beat Duke at Duke. I was voted AP National Coach of the Year. And then 2 years later, I was forced to resign. I left a great job at Notre Dame to go back to the family and you know, was forced to resign in an ugly manner. And they questioned publicly my leadership ability. And so I did what most coaches do, is you study the film and you try to get better. So I went on a leadership journey, and as I was going on taking these classes at different places, the Wharton School, the Darden School, I was realizing that if I maybe had taken these classes before I was a head coach, I might still be the head coach at North Carolina. So the pain of losing my job and then questioning my leadership, then the leadership became my passion, and I studied it. And it's the most important topic, guys, that's not formally taught. I don't know many people that took a leadership class in high school or in college. And even if you did, it doesn't mean you're a good leader. It takes practice.
It's interesting you say that, because sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, he's a natural leader.
Right.
And then there's also this work to develop yourself into a leader. How much of this is something you can really work on and develop yourself?
Well, I think that's the key question. I thought like you thought, that you're either a born leader or you're not. And, you know, I was always in leadership roles as a player and then as the head coach at Notre Dame. And so when I was told I was a bad leader and forced to resign, I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I'm not a good leader. And I questioned myself. I lost confidence. And then when I took this class on emotional intelligence at the Wharton School, it was based on a book, The Art of Emotional Intelligence. And in that book, it said leadership is a learned behavior. And that was the most exciting thing I ever read in my life. Now, you might be saying, this guy's really a nerd, you know? I mean, but at that time in my life, I was really down. Didn't think I had much hope as a leader. And when I read that, I'm like, leadership's a learned behavior. I can get better at this. And that's why it became my passion. I became so excited about it.
Well, Matt, I think your story is an amazing one. And I'm really glad that you have this book out here for people, because it sounds like, and I'll let you speak on this, that writing this book for you was really therapeutic. I mean, I think a lot of people are in your shoes and maybe aren't as open about it, i.e. when their career is done, whether it's a coaching career, especially a career that you're in the spotlight, like the people that you played with at UNC, James Worthy, Kenny Smith, Sam Perkins, Michael Jordan, my gosh. And then you move to coaching and then that's different. And it isn't it also part of it an identity issue? Like when you finish with the spotlight, if, when the spotlight stops shining, then who are you?
Well, Carl, there's a lot to unpack there, and you've hit it right on the head. I think that the intent was to help with this book, Rebound from Pain to Passion. The intent was to help others avoid the landmines mm-hmm. I stepped on. But in writing the book, and then once the book was out and people were reading it and the feedback I was getting, it is hugely therapeutic. I never admitted until I wrote the book that I dealt with depression. And there were days I didn't feel like getting out of bed. And there was days where I'm like, you know what, I'm just counting the days and I'm not really fulfilled. And what is my identity? And now I feel a fulfillment and an identity that I hadn't had in a long time. It is very difficult when you're in a position where your identity is wrapped into your job.
Sure.
And I had that as a player for 14 years. When I was 10, I fell in love with basketball. And at 24, basketball broke up with me. And I was like, screw you. I don't need you. I'm out. You know, I'm going to find some other love, right? And I thought it was money. I went to work on Wall Street and it wasn't. And I bounced back to... rebounded back, if you will, to basketball. And that's when I started coaching, and that felt good. To be called a coach, to be a basketball coach, felt good to me. And then when I was fired again, it's like I was free falling off the Empire State Building. What is my identity? I grasp on a lot of different things, trying to find that fulfillment. And really, it's the fulfillment here. Robin Roberts from Good Morning America says, make your mess your message. And that's what I've done here, and it has been very therapeutic, as you touched on.
Well, we're very fortunate that we have you with us and that this book is out there. And we're speaking with Matt Doherty, former UNC Tar Heel and coach after Dean Smith of North Carolina. Let's look now at the Tar Heels right now. Wow, what a season. Up and down all over the place, 9-6 in the ACC, 15-9 overall. They won at Florida State. Then they turn around and lose at Syracuse. What are your thoughts on UNC this season and how Roy Williams is handling this roller coaster?
Oh, my gosh. It is a roller coaster. You're very astute, Carla. It is so inconsistent. Just when you think they're going to turn the corner, they lose. What do you attribute it to? Inconsistent guard play. They're starting two freshmen. No off season because of COVID. Mm-hmm. The stress of COVID. I think that's real. You know, I think that kids are locked in and they're by themselves and they can't be around family and friends. So they don't have that emotional support like they normally have. Maybe some of them are worried about what their parents and grandparents are dealing with in terms of COVID. I think there's a lot of distractions, more distractions than normal. But the guard play has not been good. They're not a great outside shooting team. And so I think that if and when Caleb Love becomes a consistent point guard, mm-hmm. that's going to determine how far they go. And to this point, he hasn't done it on a consistent basis. And I hate to single out one player, but that's the risk. I tell players it's a risk to go to North Carolina because you're going to get the exposure, but you're also going to get exposed.
Right.
Great stuff. Right? Yeah, no, really appreciate it. That's Matt Doherty. Now, his book is called Rebound from Pain to Passion. Matt, is it out now at Amazon?
Oh, yeah, it's out. It's already sold out. We just had to do a second.
Wow.
We had to do a second print and pre-order on Amazon, and it'll be to you probably by the end of the month, if not the first week of April.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Matt.
Congrats. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And now it is time to go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And joining us on the guest line is Dom Cosentino. He's an NFL features writer for The Score. Dom, thank you for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, David and Carla.
Well, let's start with Seattle and Russell Wilson. Do you really think Russell Wilson will be traded?
I do not. I think a lot of this is Wilson kind of flexing a little to just to see if the Seahawks will do what he wants, which is pretty much, you know, to beef up the offensive line, to kind of, you know, put him in an offensive system that allows him to, you know, cook, so to speak. You know, that was the expression everyone used about, you know, right, allowing him to throw on early downs and just be play more aggressively, where, you know, they've kind of relied a lot on the run for most of his career there, you know, more heavily than he would like. So I think it's a little bit of posturing. I know there's a lot of smoke, but I don't know that it'll get to the point where they pull a trigger on a trade, unless the team comes up with some kind of crazy offer for them. That might be the only tipping point, you know, so to speak. But I'd have a hard time seeing him being moved.
Are you reading anything, Dom, in the tea leaves about the four teams that were named? It's kind of funny. It's like, no, he's not asking to be traded. However, here are the four teams in Dallas, Chicago, Las Vegas, and New Orleans. Do you read anything in his tea leaves?
Yeah, it's hard to say because it was a very passive-aggressive maneuver, mm-hmm, you know, as though to kind of suggest, you know, and he does have a no-trade clause, which would allow him to dictate where he wants to go. So, you know, beyond, I guess, again, you know, drawing a certain line in the sand, so to speak, as if to say, well, if this is going to happen, I'm giving you the names of the team, and not only giving you the names of the teams, but putting it out there publicly. But, you know, if that's where it may, that may be where he ends up. But I don't know that he's going to get, it means he's going to get moved, because I still think there's a lot for the Seahawks to consider in moving him, and how it may affect their cap, and what they may get as some kind of, you know, as a return, because they'd still have to find a quarterback.
So we're talking about all these quarterbacks now that are really controlling their narrative, in Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson and different people like this, which is a little NBA-ish for sure. Do you like that? And do you think it's time now for, and you know, with something like Deshaun Watson, I mean, he absolutely has, we're here in Houston, believe me, he has every reason in the world to want out of there. They have really, the trust has been broken a number of times. But anyway, do you like this trend? And do you think it's good for the players to take control of their narrative?
I do, because historically the NFL has been a league that has exerted so much control over their workforce. And, you know, the quarterbacks, especially the so-called elite quarterbacks, the guys making the sort of money that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and even Deshaun Watson are making now, you know, have leverage in ways that, you know, players in the past had not. And I think that they're realizing what that leverage can do for them. I mean, like the culture of obedience is a very big thing in football. But, you know, workers kind of taking control of their own opportunities and sort of having the leverage to dictate where and how they want their workforce around them to function is something I think we'd all want. So, you know, I think it's a great thing to see, you know, players doing that kind of thing.
We're talking to Dom Cosentino. He is an NFL features writer for The Score. Would love to ask you about New Orleans. Who do you think will be the starting quarterback of the Saints next year?
Boy, you know, given the contract they gave Taysom Hill, I'd have a hard time believing it's not going to be him at this point, unless there's some kind of competition with, you know, if they end up bringing back Jameis Winston. But just that contract with Hill was really curious, just in the way it was structured last year. So I'd have a hard time believing it's not him, unless, you know, we there's still a lot of trade scenarios and possibilities out there. You know, if they pull something like that to get a Sam Darnold while he still has a year left on his rookie deal, that kind of thing. But, you know, I think once we know the cap and trades start to shake out, you know, all kinds of things can happen for the Saints. But Hill's contract leads me to believe that he may stick around.
So you do think Drew Brees is retiring?
I think he is. He's hinted enough at it. But you know, who's to say? I guess he's hinted enough at it, and their cap situation is what it is. I think he may end up leaving. Yeah.
So, Dom, we're sitting here in Houston, Texas, as I mentioned, and what we do know that the Texans are really good at is squandering value. So let's take a look. That's probably their strength, unfortunately, for us. So they just let a three-time defensive player of the year, who is in his last year of his contract, go to Arizona for literally nothing. How do you feel about the J.J. Watt signing with the Cardinals?
Well, you know, I thought it was curious that they let him walk. Obviously, he's getting less money annually from the Cardinals, but not much, which tells me that, you know, maybe that it might have been difficult to trade him, and I think it would. But even if you're the Texans, I think it behooves you to maybe get a mid or, you know, round draft pick for Watt if you could. But, you know, him signing with the Cardinals, I think, gives him an opportunity. You know, he wanted to play for a contender. He's obviously rejoining DeAndre Hopkins over there. It's good for JJ. I think he wanted the fresh start. He was clearly fed up with the way things had been trending there in Houston. But you know, I was really kind of surprised that they didn't at least make more of an effort to trade for even a mid-round draft pick.
We're talking to Dom Constantino, NFL features writer for The Score. So let's talk about New England. Belichick finished 7-9 last year and watched Tom Brady win the Super Bowl. He needs a quarterback, and I don't think Cam Newton's going to get him to the promised land. Where is he going to go fishing?
You know, that's a great question. Just what they do with the draft. Do they trade up? You know, one thing about the Patriots last season, they sort of had Brady's cap, you know, holdover stuff still on their books.
Yep.
They've got a clean slate. They've got money to spend, you know, and they've got an opportunity not only to get a quarterback, really, but to get weapons, you know, which was part of the reason Brady left, was that they really had not drafted well, at the receiver position. But, you know, kind of all options are on the table, I think, for the Patriots at this point in terms of what they're going to do at quarterback, including bringing back Cam Newton, I think.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, Todd McShay came out with his new mock draft, and of course, he's got four quarterbacks going the first four picks, and then offensive players in the first nine. Is this quarterback class that good, or are they overvaluing the position again?
I mean, I think it seems to be, and you know, one thing again that we saw recently was teams that signed quarterbacks to second contracts, like the Rams and the Eagles, wound up moving on from those quarterbacks. So there's a lot of value in getting a quarterback on a rookie deal. I think that's kind of in many ways, the ideal way to build a team. So, you know, when you say overvalue, yes, in terms of those quarterbacks' ability, you know, a lot of that comes down to what these scouts and personnel people think about these quarterbacks as players. But on the flip side, just in terms of contract value and locking a quarterback into a fixed contract at 4 or 5 years, you know, what is significantly below the market rate also has a lot of value to teams. So I think that's part of the reason we're seeing some of that.
Well, that discussion takes us to the Jets. Of course, Donald's got another year on his rookie deal, but they have a chance to reset the clock and take Zach Wilson. Is that what you envision they will do?
I kind of do. You know, I, on one hand, I can see the logic in bringing back Darnold. You know, just because he needs to get away he's now free from Adam Gase and has a new opportunity with an organization that's got a lot of draft capital, got a lot of cap space to kind of build around the quarterback position. But at the same time, you know, he's 3 years in. He was not drafted by Joe Douglas. It's, you know, Robert Saleh's a new head coach, new staff. You know, they want to maybe get their guy. I think everything's going to depend on what their evaluation is of this quarterback class. And if they feel that having the number two pick outweighs trading down and building around Darnold, you know, using the number two pick on Luke Wilson, you know, it works for them. That's probably what they're going to do. But I'd have a hard time seeing them bringing back Darnold, but depending on what their internal evaluation is, it's also plausible that they could do it, if that makes sense.
So, Dom, what about Carson Wentz? Can his career be resurrected in Indy under Frank Wright?
I think it's the ideal place for him. You know, I'm hesitant to make a judgment one way or another because it was, you know, he's just had so many fits and starts with his career, a lot of injuries. But I think getting away from Philly and getting into an organization like the Colts with a good offensive line, you know, when he had a good offensive line as a rookie, he really thrived. You know, so and the familiarity with Reich, it's the ideal situation for him. But it's now on him, you know, really to perform, and we'll see if that, you know, 2020 was really an aberration for him or you know, that's kind of who he is.
It's interesting when you look at these quarterbacks, because I had my own personal top 10 quarterbacks in the league, and Matt Stafford wasn't in my list. Maybe because he was in Detroit and playing so anonymously there for so long. And then along came the Rams, and they gave up a bundle of picks to get this guy. Did the Rams overpay?
Yeah, you know they've been kind of dealing their first-round pick here since they took Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I was surprised by what they were willing to give up, you know, giving up two picks plus Goff to get Stafford. But they're really going all in. And you know, Sean McVay perhaps sees something in the way Stafford plays. I think Stafford has been a pretty good quarterback. He, you know, can play efficiently, but he's just been buried there in Detroit for most of his career, if not all of it. You know, McVay clearly sees something, but they, you know, they've just dealt so much of their draft capital that they've got a very expensive roster. They've really got a window here to succeed in the next year or two, and we'll see if they do.
It surprises me when I look at the 49ers. Jimmy G has played well when healthy, but his quarterback status there feels very tenuous, right? There's always this story that the 49ers are going to go get somebody else. Deshaun Watson would have been an incredible pickup. Do you think Jimmy G and the 49ers will stick together this year?
I was a little hesitant after the season just because of the way his deal's structured and the fact that he has had so many injuries since they signed. You know, they front-loaded his contract. He's had so many injuries since, you know, he signed in San Francisco. But I could be mistaken, but I thought John Lynch kind of signaled that they want to bring him back. So, you know, now that could be smoke too, smoke screen of sorts too. You know, I think it would depend on what they can get on the trade market. Do they want to get a guy like Sam Darnold or not? Or, you know, but they, it's a very, that situation always seems to be murky, you know, like as you said. So there's a lot to consider there. But, you know, his contract is now at a point where they can move on without taking on a big dead cap hit. So we'll see if they do.
Dom, we can't let you go without asking about Deshaun Watson. Is it time now for the Texans to trade them? And will they, or is this going to be the old-fashioned standoff that is going to be miserable for everybody?
I'm curious to see if it's a standoff to the point where, you know, they want to see if they can call. They want to call Deshaun's bluff to see if he's willing to give up money once we get to the season. But at the same time, I think as we get closer to draft season and you know, teams start to begin, you know, swapping picks and looking to, you know, move up in the draft and that kind of thing. If they don't pull the trigger just to move on and reset and restart, now that, you know, Nick Caserio is in charge, so that I think will be the critical time. And if nothing happens then obviously we're looking at a month-long situation where we're into training camp and fines and him giving up game checks and things like that, and we go from there.
It looks like part of the problem is that the Texans are not admitting they're doing a rebuild. I mean, it's clear that they are. Their stars are gone, you know, for all intent and purposes. And I think that's maybe part of the problem there. Just admit it's a rebuild and go for it.
Yeah, I mean, just from a basic PR standpoint, they've handled so much of this so poorly, you know, in terms of the way that they're projecting to their fans what in the world they're doing. And it, you know, and it's something that's gone back now a couple of years, and they've now, you know, angered their star 25-year-old quarterback. It's not good, and I just think there's some things they could do to smooth it over that they haven't done, just from a PR standpoint. But here we are. You know, good luck with that.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Exactly.
All right, he is Dom Constantino. You can read him on The Score. Great NFL content. Really appreciate your joining us, Dom.
You're welcome. Thanks again for having me.
Take care.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, can you believe it? NBA All-Star Weekend is here.
I'm sure everybody's on the edge of their seat for this one, right?
And LeBron had some fun picking his team, didn't he?
Oh, gosh. He just had to give a little jab to Utah. I don't think he appreciates that they are outdoing the Lakers this season.
Well, they are thus far. And I think LeBron's saying, hey, you may have your day here in the sun, but I'm LeBron.
Just you wait.
I'm picking the All-Star team, and I'm saying that nobody wants a Jazz on their team.
And you're my last two picks in Gobert and Mitchell. And it's funny, he went on then to go ahead and bash John Stockton, Karl Malone as well.
Yeah.
Wow, took it back to the video game. Said nobody had Utah in the video games. Wow, okay.
And then the Greek Freak.
Mind games. LeBron's good at that.
Yeah, but and the Greek Freak is claiming that their team is going to easily win.
Well, it looks pretty good. You've got Giannis, Steph, Luka, and Jokic.
What's wrong with that makeup?
Oh, and don't forget LeBron.
Yeah, well, and Team Durant, I mean,
that's nothing to sneeze at with Kyrie, Joel, Kawhi, and Bradley Beal. It's pretty nice, too.
Yeah, I like LeBron's team.
But you got to have your swagger, and LeBron's got the mind games. Giannis has got the swagger. Bring it on.
Well, it'll be fun. I mean, that's what that is, theater. And, of course, it's nice. LeBron, who didn't want this game to happen at all, has now come back around. He's clearly eager to have it take place.
Exactly.
All right, that's hour one of the books. We've got a great second hour coming up. We're even going to have Howard Balzer join us, and he'll talk about all things Cardinals and the addition of J.J. Watt to the Phoenix Cardinals. All that and more when we return. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.